again, and he's got it!
Gavin was closing in. Oh, Gavin has scored!
Abdul Osman against Brad Jones to put Liverpool out of the cup, and Northampton 3! Yeah! Northampton
have got it! Hello, we're back with It's All Cobblers to Me, the weekly podcast all about Northampton Town Football Club. I'm Charles Commins, and together with Neil Edgerton-Scott and Danny Brothers, I'm going to spend the next hour talking absolute cobblers. Not a pun. If you enjoy what we do and would like to help us to keep bringing you weekly Cobblers content, you can join the fan club on Patreon, where you'll get access to our community forums, bonus episodes, and help us to continue to sponsor NTFC women's player Abby Bruin. You can help us to do that by signing up for just £2 a month at patreon.com/cobblers2me. Now, guys, I'm going to get straight into this because I'm sure you'll agree, huge news. There is only one place to start. Bernard Ashley Seal. He scored! 2-2.
He scored and got a new name. What a weekend.
That's his actual name, isn't it?
His actual name, Bernard. Yeah. I love it.
He's not Bernard, is he?
Yeah, he is.
Is he actually Bernard?
Yeah. If you go into his Wikipedia, it's Bernard Ashley Seal. Bernard Patrick Ashley Seal, actually.
Oh, why have we not been playing him more then?
Not now, Bernard.
Incredible name.
Does he not have a watch? That's one for the kids.
Speaking of puns, Charles, you said at the start, I'm going to spend the next hour talking cobblers, not a pun. That is the definition of a pun, isn't it?
That is most obvious Northampton Town pun you could have come up with.
Well, yes, but it's not a pun because I've got a feeling that I am going to be just talking nonsense for the next hour.
Do you see?
There you go. Not a pun.
Okay. Well, we'll find out.
We will find out. So, Neil, I just want to go straight to you.
Oh, hello.
Your prediction at the beginning of the seal was that Benny Ashley Seal was going to be the top scorer.
Yeah.
I mean, 2-2. Are you going to be claiming that the way that the top scorer should work is that goals per games played?
No, I'm going to say there's a lot of games left yet still, Charles.
Oh.
His record, it speaks for itself.
Does.
So,
great finish though, wasn't it?
Right place, right time.
Absolutely. He was never going to miss that. I can think of at least one player who would have missed.
Who?
David Seal.
Seal, I wouldn't have missed that.
Yeah, he would have done.
Decided. That's bread and butter for Seal.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Any person called Seal converts that, including the singer.
Included the singer.
Oh, brilliant.
Clive Platt would have missed it.
Clive Platt, well, yeah, okay, yes, he would have missed it. Who else? Emil Sinclair?
Well, if we're going to just
Leon
name...
Leon Constantine would have missed that.
If we're going to name players that would have missed that while playing for us, we're going to be on... That's an hour done.
Yeah, well, more than an hour.
Slow news week, everyone.
Hey, I thought that was... Hoskins did well for that goal, didn't he?
He won the header as well at first, didn't he? And then
he got it
followed it up. He was excited.
He was excited, was he?
And I'm so happy for Benny, actually. So I was, Charles will know, I was going mental on the first day of the season when he scored.
Just
screaming, it's Benny at the top of my voice. And that just seemed like another version of that. I was off my sofa, jumping around. It was a thing of beauty.
The substitutions of Danny Rose and Benny Ashley Seal coming onto the pitch, was it at 1-0?
I don't know if they both came out at the same time. But
let's be honest. At that point, we all thought, shutting up shop. We did not think this is going to end 3-0.
We did not. No. I mean, when Danny Rose comes on, that's it, isn't it? You're like, shithouse time.
Yeah, well, basically.
But I thought he took it, Benny, really well. Striker's finish, that was.
He did. He whacked it. There's absolutely, literally, it was just like, oh, there it is. Thwack.
Get in there.
Absolutely. Whack it. Oh, whack it. No, it was 2-0 when they came on.
Okay. But even so, I didn't think that we'd score a third. I did think that's us shutting up shop, especially with Danny Rose coming on.
Yeah, he doesn't offer much, Danny Rose, does he? Bless him.
I mean, he had a chance. Did either of you two end up throwing things at your aisle seat on the plane to Germany or back when Danny Rose was through on goal and then didn't do anything?
He didn't really know what to do, did he?
No.
He was like, what am I doing up here? I'm supposed to be on the floor somewhere. What's going on? And just
panicked.
Yeah.
A shame, really, that he didn't manage to score it, I would say. I think that if he'd have put that in the back of the net, then we'd be saying the same thing that we may be saying about Benny. Not that he's brilliant and that, you know, plenty of time left, but I think we'd be maybe saying, oh, maybe that's a turning point.
Can we make sure we only call him Bernard from now on?
Okay, yes, sorry, yeah. Bernard. Bernard from now on.
Yeah. Well, no, you don't have to call him Bernard from now on.
Bernard from now on, Ashley Steele. I like it.
But lots of positives from the game, so let's not...
Oh, no, loads of positives from the game.
Yeah, let's not rinse Danny Rose when there's a load of positive stuff today.
Okay, well, okay.
Saturday. Leave him alone, Charles.
All right, I will. I will leave him alone. Before the match, Colchester's interim manager, is that what he is? Interim? Caretaker? Something like that. Wayne Brown said that he'd identified our weak areas and that he was aiming to exploit them. That went well, Wayne.
You dirty little pelican, you.
Yes, pelican! I don't know.
Get out of our garden.
Why do managers ever say that?
It's weird, isn't it? Like, I don't.
The easiest way to look like a fool.
Of course, you've identified our weak areas. That's what you expect a manager to do.
That's what you're supposed to do.
You don't go and tell the local press that you're like, oh, we know, we're going to win this. Basically, you're saying. It's like,
do you think he's just not realised that even though he was talking to his local press in Essex, in Colchester, that wouldn't get picked up by Henners or Jeremy Casey or anybody else in the world? Do you think he just thought, this won't get any further than the M11? We'll be fine.
He clearly doesn't know the power of Henners, does he? That's not getting past Henners.
The power of Henners. Sounds like that should be 1980s number one.
That should be Henner's positive thinking book that he sells.
Nothing
else. The power of Henner's.
The power of Henner's.
With a foreword by Paul McKenna.
Or Yuri Geller.
Oh, yeah.
I'll bend your mind.
Even better. I mean, I love the fact that Wayne Brown had identified some weak areas. Didn't obviously work on any of our strengths, such as set pieces, because that was exactly where our first goal came from. Absolutely beautiful corner, swung in by Postman Pins, and towering header at the back post from Captain Fantastic, or is that interim vice-captain, Fraser Horsfall. Absolutely. That reminded me slightly, dare I say it, of a Ray Warburton-esque header.
Ooh. It's a bit more stooping than a...
Was it more stooping?
A diving header, wasn't it? It was a bit of a throw himself in the way kind of one.
I just thought that it went in with a bit of force.
Yeah.
And Razor loved to give a bit of power to a header, didn't he, for a goal.
Well, I think most goals that go in through headers have a reasonable amount of force behind them.
No, some of them are looping.
You don't see that
That's
many.
That's true, actually. To be fair, John Gale liked to loop. He liked to loop in header.
Loved a loop, did John Gale.
But I know what you mean about them. You would think 31 games into the season. What's this team known for? Set pieces. Okay, let's work on that.
I mean, maybe we're not giving the Cobblers enough credit here. Maybe we're just that good that they're undefendable.
Well, that might be what it is, because Ogle was saying on commentary, wasn't it, that you can be aware of stuff as much as you want, but it doesn't mean you're going to stop it. It's like
being aware that Bezalabala's name is Bezalabala and not what you're talking.
It's not the third or fourth time he said it either. Is it?
Sorry, Tim. I had to bring it up.
Come on, Tim.
Don't come on, Tim.
back in the room.
you kind of got a feeling that people were starting to use it as a stick to beat us with, including our own fans the last few weeks. But you don't see anybody complaining when it's Bayo to Gilligan. Do you? Like, we scored, how many goals did we score from a toe to
throw? I think you'll find that there were plenty of people complaining about What's Ryan that? Gilligan. Yes. Well,
but when we scored goals and got to the playoff final that way, you didn't see a lot. It was basically every other goal was up to Bayo, lay it off, or up to Bayo, he flicks in a header.
Ben toes a throw. Loops the header.
Yeah. I think there was a lot of people complaining.
What's there?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I
do think you're. Yeah,
you were just saying your AD Boothroyd loving yeah. bubble.
Yeah, you know me
on
and
his own.
The AD Boothroyd love bubble doesn't sound fun.
No, it doesn't sound particularly fun. Clive Platt will be in there though. I think there was quite a few people. Well, there's always people complaining. Full stop.
It's true.
Yeah, that is true.
And it's as soon as you don't win a game. The long throw doesn't work or whatever when it was Tozer back in the day.
Yeah.
There would be people kicking off and moaning and, you know, we're too reliant on long throws. But I agree. You know, look, it works and we score. So, I mean, we almost scored again, didn't we, from a corner? It was cleared off the line, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I saw a couple of people, I think this was on the Slack, saying, if Forest Green had that would have crossed the line. Yeah. That's going to be a joke that doesn't stop running, isn't it, for about 5 years.
Like that one when the opposition fans claim handball and then fans then shout handball for the next 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, it was funny when it was first done 20 years ago.
Well, I was going to say, the one game that I remember that being quite fun was Wickham away. That happened, and I don't know whether it was a Saturday game or it might have been
I think it was a Tuesday night. I'm pretty sure I was with you.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. And it was literally, it went on and it wasn't the home support saying it was us as the away fans for the next rest of the match. I think it happened in the first 10 minutes. And then literally for the next 80 minutes, that's all we did was just shout handball at every opportunity. It was probably you that started it, Neil. Be honest.
No, I wouldn't like that. Oh, no.
But yeah.
It's like that we've got the ball thing now, isn't it? That's become the new one.
What's that? Anton Deck, new single.
Yeah, you know, the we've got the ball, that one.
Oh, okay, no, I don't know.
It's when you're playing shit.
Oh, is it like what Colchester sang, we've had a shot?
We've had a shot, yeah. It's, you need to see more originality in chants, don't you? Because to me, I'm like, oh, come on. It's like that library one as well. Is this a library? No, it's a football stadium. It's just a bit quiet.
I really want to go outside a library one day and just start singing.
Let's do it.
Yeah, when we come up for the tramway game, we'll go outside the central library.
Yeah,
is this a library?
It sounds like the kind of thing you get.
Is this a stadium?
Yeah,
yeah.
No, it's a library, knobhead.
Is this a butcher's?
It does sound like the kind of thing that you get TikTok famous over. Just go and do football chants outside the things that we actually chant about.
Yeah,
like that, and that would be quite good. I enjoy it.
What would you do? Go down to churches. You should be mending our shoes. Was it QPR that sang that?
Brilliant. Do you remember there was a game once, and this is going back a few years now, and it won't be the only game that this has ever happened at, obviously, but it was a home game for the Cobblers, and I think we were losing, and the away fans were singing, "You should have gone to the rugby," because the Saints were playing at the same time.
Oh, yes, I remember this. Yeah.
And then overturned it and we started winning. So then we started singing to the away fans, "You should have gone to the rugby." That was entertaining many, many years ago.
Yeah, Grimsby at home, I'm pretty sure that was.
Is that Grimsby at home? You've got a memory.
I don't know why I remember that, but I remember that.
You have a memory.
You have a memory.
Do you remember... I know we spoke about chants the other week, didn't we? But how on earth did we forget? Was it Hull City? You're getting mauled by the Tigers and they all did like the tiger claws with their hands.
Just dreadful.
Oh, terrible.
Just awful. Absolutely awful. Danny, you've written in the running order here.
Yes.
About our wonderful new centre-back, Tyler McGlaw.
Oh, yeah.
I know, and this is how I know it was Danny that wrote it. He's written "Maglorious challenge from Tyler."
Oh, it was Maglorious. Did you see him?
Well,
what a challenge it was. Yeah. Last ditch. Love that. He's slotted in majestically, isn't he?
Magloriously, you might say.
Yeah, he's brilliant. I love him.
I think he's really good, actually.
And for that, for the Hoskins goal as well, he stepped out. Oh,
he did, didn't he? I enjoyed that. I really did. I will. Marauded.
Yeah.
Maglauded.
Maglauded, nice.
I will say that when he signed, the three of us, in fact, were on an episode chatting about how, you know, how must Max Dyche be feeling about, you know, having somebody sign above him on loan. I think, Neil, you were particularly annoyed by the fact that we were yet again loaning a player from a higher divisioned club. It doesn't sound like you, no. And yet, actually, he's... I mean, not that we didn't say or didn't think that he would be any... excuse me, any good, but he's proved his worth, hasn't he, of late?
Absolutely, yeah. He's been excellent. What a surprise.
What a surprise.
Three random idiots were wrong.
When you say three random idiots, I mean
Danny, obviously. Yeah.
Right, yes, okay.
Yeah.
Perfect sense.
No, he has been, yeah. He looks composed, is how I would describe him.
Yes.
And he looks like he's got a bit of a football brain as well, which...
Composed and very confident in his own ability, isn't he?
Yeah.
For a defender, yes, exactly. I mean, I'm sure that we'll get that out of him eventually. But, you know, it's that thing of just being like, well, I think the first game that he actually, I think, did he come on as a sub in his first game for his first appearance, I think? And he came on and he took a touch out on the right wing.
This is that touch that you still get excited
about. Mate, I mean, it's up where, for me, that touch is up there with when John Joe made four Oxford players just basically go and have a cup of tea.
No, it wasn't.
It was a sublime touch to fall.
It was a good touch, but it wasn't that level.
Oh, it was. It was lovely. Beautiful, it was. Majestic. No, I won't try that one. It was good. And he's showing his... I'm really... Like, there's a couple of people saying, oh, he's out of contract at Blackburn at the end of this season. Well, I'd love to. I'd love to say get him in. I don't think it's realistic, though.
No, I do.
Do you?
Yeah.
If we go up, is that the caveat there?
Yeah, potentially, I think. But we seem to have a good relationship whenever a player comes on loan to us, don't we? They always seem to enjoy it. And so
We said about Scott Wharton, though, didn't we, as well?
Yeah, he was... So I think Scott Wharton was always earmarked by Blackburn as one for the future. I'm not sure if Maglorious is quite like that with them. I think I may have dreamt it, but I'm sure I read something that they were happy for him to leave at the end of the season. Yeah. Get him in on a free.
Get him in there.
That would be an incredible signing, I will say.
I mean, it'd be a start, wouldn't it? If we went up and kept our back three together, that would be a nice start.
Be nice, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Danny, can you not make any comments about, you know, what would be good if we go up?
Why not?
That we'll keep because last time we went up and you said the best thing that could happen was if Keith Curl stayed.
Did I?
You did.
Danny, yeah, you said we should give Keith Curl a knighthood and the freedom of the city. He should walk down Abington Street with a load of sheep.
You basically bought Keith Curl a new flat. And said, "You stay. Here's the key."
Oh. Needs a flat, doesn't he?
You basically tried to go a little bit Fritzel on Keith Curl.
Oh, dangerous!
Can we say that?
No, probably not. I mean, it's staying in, but probably not.
Yeah, I think it's okay. I think he's in. I'm not suggesting that there's anything untoward there, but I think, you know, dangerous ground, Danny.
Sam Hoskins. Sam Hoskins.
Well, that's another one that Danny's got problems with.
Sam Hoskins, boys and girls. What a way to break your open play goal duck.
It's easy for you to say. Say that again.
Your open play goal duck. There you go.
This is what we should name one of Jeffy's ducks.
open play goal duck.
Yes.
That's the first goal that we have scored from open play in 7 matches. Seven.
A beaut as well, wasn't it?
Absolutely. Can you remember a better team goal scored by the Cobblers?
Yes.
Luton free kick.
Yeah, Luton free kick. Plymouth away. That when we won, that did never. That goal never got enough credit for being a great team goal, but it was
beautiful.
I'm enjoying these. Any more? Yeah. Any more for any more? Good.
No. Yep. We don't score a lot of them, do we?
No, we don't. We don't score a lot of them. The one thing that I've, I think I noticed, I say I noticed this, I felt this when I was watching the game on Saturday, was that maybe I feel like, and did I say this to you guys on the WhatsApp? That maybe I feel a bit like, having watched some, you know, Premier League football because it's and Champions League football because it's obviously very accessible being on the TV all the
time. Did say this,
that maybe I feel a bit like watching the Cobblers or watching any League Two football match. The thing that I've noticed is that there's no patience in the teams. The style of football is very much get the ball up the other end as quickly as possible. And I know I sound a bit like Heath Curl here, but get it up the other end as quickly as possible and try and score at every opportunity. Whereas if you watch like a Premier League match, especially one involving the top teams, they're a lot more patient. They don't need to score at every opportunity. They don't need to, you know, they'll quite happily sort of play around with the ball in the midfield and just pass it, move around, pass it a bit more. Whereas on Saturday, especially, I could just see it. It was constantly the ball. I never seemed to spend any time anywhere near the centre circle, regardless of who was in possession.
Frantic. Is how I would describe a lot of League Two games.
Good word. Yeah.
Frantic. Which is probably why when McGlorious steps out of defence with the ball and it stands out even more, I guess. I mean, it happened in the Prem on Sunday, didn't it? I don't know if you saw Leeds v Man United.
I did not, no.
Did not, no. Lindelof, I think it was. Did a very similar thing for Man United. My frustration, because we did have a conversation about this on the WhatsApp, didn't we? My frustration is when players don't think, and I'm not levelling this necessarily at specific Cobblers players, just in general, it's when they boot it.
Without thinking.
Yeah, you could probably, you know, clear that down the line, but instead you've just whacked it into the stand. And, you know, maybe there's... You know, they're professional footballers, so maybe there's a reason why that does. It gives them a chance maybe to get set again in defence. I don't know. But there is times where I'm just like, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? Just keep the ball.
Yeah, I think there's a time and a place for it, isn't there?
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Sometimes you've got to clear your lines, and that's absolutely fine. You see that at every level of the game. But I do think you're right. I do think that we, especially in recent years, have been guilty of just whack it as high and as far as you possibly can. Without taking a moment to sort of think, right, where are our strikers, or is there a different option? And I think that's one of the things, just to bring it back to Tyler McGlaugh for a second, just for you, Danny, it's one of the things that he brings to the side is that composure, the fact that he is able to sort of take a touch, has confidence in his ability, that he won't get the ball taken off of him by a defender because he knows that he can, his first touch is going to be good and he's going to put it into an area that will take it away from the onrushing opposition player. And that gives him that extra moment to actually pick a decent pass out where he'll get it into midfield rather than just, right, let's just kick it up towards the front man. I mean, don't get me wrong, we still did that at times. You know, there were plenty of times where we still went with a longer ball. But they do seem to be a little bit more directed now. A little bit more, you would call them a long pass as opposed to a hoof.
Yeah, he's just, McGlaugh's just got that extra little bit of composure. As I feel like I trust the back three even more than I did the back two. Because he's there, he's got like such a confidence about him that you don't usually get from young loanees, that he's just so composed, he's slotted in like he's been there all this time. But yeah, I just feel a lot more at ease with him there.
Mm.
Feel comfortable.
It is good. What else was good was seeing Jack Sowby and Azza Magaza back in the team. What wasn't so good was then seeing Jack Sowby out of the team again. He limped off in the second half. Looked like a knee injury. And that's what he was out with last time. So hopefully it's not going to be too serious. But he didn't look happy, did he, when he went off? He did definitely look like it was hurting somewhat.
It did. It definitely looked like the same kind of injury. Maybe it was one of those that you just throw him back in too soon because we were missing players in that position. I don't know. But he just didn't want to play Scott Pollock. That's what
no.
it was. Even when he came off, where did he come off? Didn't Beverly come on?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Lukaku came on,
yeah.
I mean, we did actually have a question in the postbag from Roz, which is, how do you feel about Scott Pollock not getting on as a sub against Colchester on Saturday? And she says, are we ever going to see him play for us again? There's got to be something. I mean, earlier in the week, John Brady was talking about how he wouldn't be trying to fit square pegs into round holes. And if that meant that he had to play Scott Pollock or is it Amibola? Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Then he wouldn't be afraid to do that. I mean, quite clearly, the fact that he's brought back in Jack Sowerby, I would suggest, especially if he has come back in, and I'm not suggesting that this is definitely what's happened, but if he has brought him back in a game early to and taken that risk rather than play Scott Pollock, then that does suggest that there's very little trust in Scott Pollock's ability to be able to play professional football at League Two standard, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's weird. I just find it really weird because he was on the brink when Carl was there, wasn't he? Came in, scored a couple of goals in League One, League Two.
Did he score against Oldham that time?
Yeah, scored at Carlisle.
Oh, yeah, Carlisle, that scored. Was it.
Won the League Two Apprentice of the Year, I think, at some point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's one of those where we just think he should have played more, like at least as a sub, and come on, and I think he played in the Pizza Cup, didn't he? But that's about it, and it's just an odd one. I just wonder what more there is to it. But
yeah, it's an odd one. I suppose it's a question I'm sure that gets put to him by... You know,
I think didn't Henners say that he's had injuries and everything else behind it, which obviously they're going to say, right?
But. Well, that's it, isn't it? I mean, I know he obviously has been injured. He was injured, was it all last season? That's why he didn't feature at all in League One. He had an injury. And then are they just using that as an easy way out of answering that question?
Maybe. Who knows?
Who knows? Indeed.
It's a mystery.
It was. A good result, a better performance, would you say, than result against Colchester, Neil?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Sowerby and McGazza are very important. I thought Sowerby had a really, really good game.
Mm.
And so did McGazza, actually. I thought he played really. He's a very good footballer. And I think he probably doesn't get enough credit, actually. He's brilliant. So, yeah, it is a better performance. It was more enjoyable to watch. There's a little bit of a spell, wasn't there, where we switched off a little bit. But yeah. It's very rare that you're going to dominate a game for 90 minutes, isn't mm-hmm. it? So, I think we were lucky they didn't score.
There was that 30-second passage where they cleared off the line and then
and they had that chance
the post.
They had that chance in the back.
The player, just why is he not...
He's completely stopped.
Just let it go in front of him, didn't he? He just kind of went, oh, there's the ball. Oh, it's gone. Oh, dear. I mean, him in a cobbler's shirt, it'll fit right in.
But, you know, I thought overall it was a positive performance. I mean, I think we said on WhatsApp, I think, when we were watching it and chatting about it, that we should have probably had put the game to bed earlier, really, because we did miss a couple of chances as well. So, and then you wouldn't have had that little nervy sort of 10 minutes, I guess, where if they had have scored, then it probably would have been a bit squeaky bottom time. But no, yeah, I think a solid performance. Nice as well to get a couple of goals from open play. Let's go.
Yeah.
15 games to go.
Ooh. Yeah.
Can I Bring something to the table, Charles.
Oh,
and I might be getting a little bit too excited about this.
You definitely are.
But hey, Forest Green 0, Walsall 1.
Oh,
hey, 11 points. 11 points. 45 11. Points to play for. All
right. Is that Forest Green? Bums. Is
that? I think the little vegan bums are squeaking.
Are they?
Do you think?
No, probably not.
I mean, I'd love to talk about it more, but it feels like a really good opportunity to plug the Basement Towers podcast.
Oh yeah.
So if you want to hear more about Danny's excitement over Forest Green potentially, exploding now. This is it, potentially, isn't it? We've been waiting for them to implode all season. Maybe this is it. Maybe yeah. Walsall was what was required. If you want to hear more about that, then sign up to the Patreon, patreon.com/cobblers2me. And you can hear our weekly bonus podcast episodes all about all the other action in League 2 and the FA Cup occasionally when Danny likes to bring that into it.
Sometimes, yeah.
Sometimes.
27 points clear of the bottom two as well. So I think
we are.
Yeah. So I think we're safe.
We're safe. That's
can we have a party pitch invasion next time?
I would say we're on our way, aren't we? I'm feeling much more confident about at least securing a playoff position.
Tune in next week where Neil is suicidal.
Oh, I've got Scunthorpe. Scunthorpe away on Tuesday.
Oh yeah, Tuesday, yeah. So, bottom of the table. That should be a 12.
Oh dear.
I think that's one of our games in hand on Tranmere, isn't it? So.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
So could go second.
Do Exeter play as well?
Because I don't think
Exeter
they do,
obviously no. didn't play. Was it Barrow was who they were meant to be playing, and the game got postponed?
Yes. So that's their own fault, isn't it? Shouldn't be allowed. Shouldn't be allowed to play it.
Shouldn't be allowed. It's your own fault.
They can't be asked to get a game on. Come on, chalk it off. On we go. No, they're not playing.
I tell you,
okay.
No, Tuesday night, there's a few games, though, isn't there?
A few games, but I don't think there's anyone around us, apart from Swindon.
Swindon, maybe.
Swindon play Walsall.
Port Vale, kind of, trying to sneak in there.
Nah, they're not bothering us just yet, are they?
Not yet. Not yet.
We got on Saturday, Rochdale away.
Yeah. Very good.
Hey, who have Forest Green got? Crawley away. Hey!
Come on.
A bit of Yems.
Oh, a bit of Yems action.
Yems.
Tranmere go to Newport as well. That's a toughie, isn't it?
I think Tranmere are slipping a little bit.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I think they're on the dive.
Oh.
Dive.
I thought you were about to say they were on the take. I mean, I was going to. Each to their own.
When do we start to get excited about top three? Like, 10 games to go, do you think?
May the 12th.
Well, six games to go for
six
me.
Six games to go. Yeah, once it's past the 40 mark, then.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Proper, like,
then once it
final
says four,
straight.
Yeah. Then you're like, right, okay.
I tell you what, when I'll get excited is when the players are drinking beer on a Friday in the centre circle, wearing flip-flops. That's when I'll get excited.
Rumours have it they do that anyway, Charles.
Oh, really? Oh. Quite enjoy that. Right.
Is Hoskins just kept the tradition going?
All on his own.
Every time
on,
we get a new manager. Yes, right, this is what we have to do.
Yeah.
So got an idea. Amazing.
Never been done before.
Oh, the East Stand. Neil's going to go quiet, probably.
Charles. We were having fun for a minute there.
I know we were having fun. Well, we're not going to say too much about it because obviously we're recording on a Sunday night. The full council meeting to discuss the club's offering happens on Monday. So by the time you're hearing this on Tuesday at the earliest,
the stand
that
will be
have
built.
Already have happened. God, could you imagine? Deal signed. Oh, there it is. It's been there all along.
Just been on the back of a lorry all this time, ready to slot in.
It's one of those where, you know the lorries that have the pictures of the inside drawn on the outside of it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's basically, that is what the East Stand has been. It's just been like a drawing.
Like
and
the
then
child
what
catcher.
Do is say, yes, yeah, exactly like the child catcher.
And Pete Winkleman.
And then literally all that's going to happen is that they're going to get some celebrity to come along and just peel back the curtain and there'll be kitchens and everything.
Peel back the curtain?
Yeah, peel back the curtain.
Isn't that a famous song?
Possibly. I don't know. Is it?
Yeah. Are you talking about Hold Back the Night?
So they're going to talk about
any dream will do.
Any dream will.
It's because of my eyes.
That's because that's the.
Peel back the curtain.
That's the first thing that comes up when you type in "Peel Back the Curtain" song into.
Really brilliant, Joseph.
He's actually drew back the curtains.
No, I wasn't.
It was close enough.
Sorry, anyway, I tried to distract from
you. You've done a good job.
I'll let you carry on. Yep.
Yeah, they'll be talking about it at the council meeting, and then next Monday is when it goes to cabinet, which I believe is when the vote is going to take place. So that will be when decision, that's going to be a bit like transfer deadline day. We're going to go and send Neil down wearing a yellow tie to just stand outside holding a dildo, probably.
I will not. I'll be holding a placard saying, "I don't care."
Oh dear.
So Monday's more we're putting our case forward.
I think
so. Why do they need another week to decide? Can't they just go off into a room and then come back?
Gotta find the rubber stamp, haven't they?
And if it's anything like David Cardoza's pen was back in the day, they'll be looking for it for a while.
Well, and him.
Yeah.
The rubber stamp might have been nicked by a strange presence in the building.
So there's been lots going on about the East End, obviously, and we've talked to death about it, so we won't go any more. But I do have a question for you, for both of you two, and I also put this question out to people in our fan club on our Slack forum, which is, so I saw a rather interesting article on the Twitter over the weekend. The latest suggestion, so I'll set it up for you. Basically, at the moment, we know that the athletics track is basically split in half. Okay, well, the area where the old abandoned disused athletics facility was is kind of split in half divided by two leases, isn't it? And what the club have said is that the half that is closest to the stadium will now belong to the stadium. The freehold will be transferred into the name of Northampton Town Football Club, therefore giving the football club a piece of land that they have never, ever, 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 ever owned before in the entire 125-year history of the football club. And it will be completely owned by the football club. The other half of it will be basically part of the rest of the development land, so therefore it can be sold off and whatever is going to be potentially wanting to be built on there. People will be able to buy it to build whatever it is. We don't know what that's going to be yet. The main point of contention seems to be with the Supporters Trust is that they want to have the whole of the area that the athletics track was on to be given to the club to basically have something on there that will benefit the football club financially and help create a more self-sustaining football club in years and years to come. And there's been previous suggestions as to what these kind of things could be that would be put onto that piece of land that would help. We've had previous suggestions of five-a-side pitches, like 3G pitches, a bit like basically having a competitor for goals, which is obviously just around the corner up on Mereway.
in our version, when you're only allowed to score one.
Yeah,
it's game over.
From a corner.
Goal, it's called. Just call it goal.
Just call goal. That's actually a really good idea. Let's do that. What else have we had? I don't know. And I appreciate that. I don't think that all of these were serious suggestions, but a velodrome was mentioned.
Was that a serious?
I don't know.
Of the many nonsense. It changes weekly what these people want.
Well, this is the question.
I thought it was supposed to be a like concert area and stuff.
Isn't that the North Stand?
Oh, I don't know. It had a big footprint, didn't it? Didn't we have stages on the pitch at one point?
I think so. Yeah, I think that's basically what was happening.
Status quo.
Get him out of retirement.
So what is it?
Right. So the latest.
What's your article you've read, Charles? Who wrote it?
Well, Tom Reed wrote it. The latest article for the Nenquirer is the suggestion that the land is used, and there's a team up involving, is it Team Shoebox? Is that who they are? The boxing club in Northampton? Obviously, You know, they've produced a couple of decent fighters, I understand. I'm not a massive boxing fan. But the suggestion is that we create a boxing training facility, a fight club, if you will, on the area that the athletics track currently abandonedly sits.
Instead so that's of the what is supposed to go there.
So at the moment, potentially fan park and car parking.
Right.
And obviously so, the extension of the stadium, because I believe the stand might come out a little bit more, potentially. Don't know exactly, but...
Look, it's either make it a stand and some car parking and whatever else the plan is, or make it a water park. One or the other.
Water park, genuine idea that was mooted circa 2002 by a certain Neil Edgerton. There you go. I put the question out to the Slack to ask the guys there what they would put on the athletics track. Danny, have you got any preference, anything that you'd like to see go on that area of land that would benefit the football club, of course, in some way?
That would benefit the football club.
Some way, shape or form?
Maybe a car park. and a bit of space if the stand gets built.
Got you. Good.
I do kind of get the idea of making sure the club make money, but I think Kelvin has responded to that already, or answered that question already, by saying, you know, anything that goes on there will benefit the football club financially. I like the idea of it being used for the community trust for things they do. I quite like the idea of some sort of venue, like the, but it's all to do with who's running it, who's paying for the staff there and all that kind of thing, isn't it? And I think at this point, I think it's a bit, I don't know if we should be making suggestions about what should be going there. More, let's just get the area sorted and then we can figure that out afterwards, is my opinion.
Okay. I mean, that's very sensible of you, Danny.
Thanks.
Very boring.
Matt Sammons had a great suggestion.
He did, yes. Matt Sammons does have a great suggestion, which I'm sure Kelvin will be listening to this right now. So, Kelvin, get your pen and paper out. Here's some suggestions for you. Matt Sammons wants a Bovril factory.
Get that in there.
Yeah, get that on there.
Just churning.
What about if we're open to suggestions, and I'm absolutely not, because I'm sick to the back teeth of this. But you know, I like
dentistry.
Yeah, you know, I like to be stupid. What about a world class curling?
Now you're talking.
We call it Keith Curl.
Perfect, right? The Keith Curling area.
I love it.
No one wants to preserve Keith's legacy in Northampton as much as me, so get it in there.
You almost didn't let him leave.
Matthew Crane, I like this. A Sarlacc pit. Somebody's been watching the Book of Boba Fett, Matthew Crane.
I was about to ask what that was.
Yeah, a Sarlacc pit where if you oppose the club or support Posh, you are thrown in and digested over 1,000 years. So a Sarlacc, just for those of you that aren't Star Wars fans, is like a big, big, weird, alien-y creature that lives in sand, and it's basically a big mouth. And, yeah, you die slowly by you being...
A big mouth, you say? I don't know a few of those that could go in there and...
Now.
That task.
Craig West. I saw that the National Diving and Activity Centre has permanently closed, so maybe we could fill the gap that this creates in the market with a diving centre behind the East Stand. You would just need to dig a massive hole where the athletics track used to be and wait for it to fill with water. People would flock for miles around to go scuba diving, and as a bonus, when the ball goes over the East Stand, someone would pop out above the water and chuck it back. we definitely didn't make the suggestion that that should be named after Danny Rose.
How is a boxing training facility going to earn the club money?
I don't know.
To use it, maybe that's the idea. I don't know.
But yeah, but I mean, like, and I think it's a very good one actually. But there's a boxing training facility in Farcotton, isn't there?
Is there? I don't know.
There's a. I wouldn't suggest it. I've never been in it, but from the outside, there's definitely where people go to train and learn to box.
Okay.
I mean, it doesn't obviously doesn't earn them a massive amount of money. Otherwise, they wouldn't still be in. See, struggling that, and quite run down.
I think that comes for everything, though, doesn't it? Because it, like with the five-a-side pitches idea, is that if it was that big of a money spinner, then
everyone would do it.
Everyone would do it. And it's not that long ago that, do you remember Power League? So they were like goals as competitors. Well, Power League went bust in 2018.
Yeah.
So it's obviously not that big of a money spinner, that, because otherwise they'd have those facilities at all the clubs in the country, wouldn't they?
Yeah. I just think some of the suggestions are very niche and very, you know, well, we'd really like that, so let's suggest that and stuff. And actually, I mean, I hate boxing, so I'm probably not the right person to ask about it anyway. But I would be on board with a scuba dive in place that you could just jump in off the top of the hill. That'd be great.
that would be good.
That feels like we're on the way to a water park.
An icy one, because it'd be cold and scuba and good dark. Point, yeah. Valerie, of Gareth and Valerie fame, this is a bit like the suggestion for the curling rink, so I think you'll like it. With the end of the Winter Olympics, perhaps one of those half-pipe things. We might even be able to see some of the tricks from our seats inside the stadium. That'd be quite good, having a half-pipe.
Just one.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, there's not been a dry ice slope for some years after the one at Rushden got taken down in favour of some shops.
There isn't, but there is one. There is the snow zone, isn't it? Or the snow dome in MK. So I feel like
you can't go there. You're not allowed.
Well, but I feel like if you wanted to go and practice skiing or snowboarding or sledging, you'd probably go there.
Yeah, that's true. But what if you wanted to do?
Get on King's Heath. Why do you need a centre for that for?
Okay, well, there's some suggestions. I mean, if you've got any more, we'd love to hear them. Just go on our Twitter and send us a tweet at Cobblers to me.
What about an airport?
An airport?
Anyone thought of it? Get a train station down there.
Anyone thought of it? Yeah. Anyone thought of anything like that? Look, come on. If we're going to play silly bollocks and suggest a massive screw-off giant concert place or whatever that, and 83 different tiers on the stands and stuff. And then if we're going to think, actually, not a fancy a boxing thing to go, bollocks to it. What else should we have there? Why don't we put a new moon there?
A new moon?
Yeah. We'll make our own moon. Yeah.
Can we put the International Space Station there?
Absolutely, yeah. It seems like it's fair game. So anything
made of Lego.
Oh, no, that's not a bad shout.
That would be a great community get-together event. We could all create a real-life, life-size version of the International Space Station made out of Lego. And what you've got to do is that the whole community comes along. It's a community build. You get players coming down. Sam Hoskins will bring a couple of pieces with him. You know, we'll get it made within a year.
Well, they call it the Big Lego-thon.
The Big Lego. Oh, I love this.
Can we have a Big Kaplunk-a-thon?
Yes. Ooh.
A giant game of Kaplunk.
That's a good idea, but you use real people. and you fall in to the scuba diving pit.
There you go. Sorted.
A better idea. Can we just put a community centre and just have board games there every Thursday night?
Yeah.
So you could play lots of different games.
Just
people,
like that.
Scrabble.
Just do something like that. That's actually going to benefit the community.
Actually a really good idea, though. Community centre. Lonely, struggling, like actually use it for something worthwhile. That it doesn't even have to earn money in that respect. But everybody struggles at some point in their life. Everybody needs
good neighbours.
I was going to say a bosom for a pillow, which is also true.
Get that in there.
Get that in there. Everyone needs a friend, someone to listen. And there's a lot, especially with COVID and everything that's happened, a lot of people that would benefit from a bit of a community centre, go down, have a glass of Coke and a twirl, play a bit of checkers.
I like it. I really do. Right, postbag time, everybody. It's time to read your letters out, but things have changed, so listen out. If you want to write about Northampton Town, you'll need to write this next bit down. Just have a rant or just some fun at podcast@cobblerstome.com. No matter if we lose or win, send us your thoughts. Come on, get them in.
Do you want one from a nurse?
Oh, well, yes, please.
Like, hold on. Do you want a email from a nurse?
Oh, right. Okay. Yes. I was worried it might have been my wife.
To clarify, yeah. Well, after the conversation we had yesterday, I know that's not happening, Charles.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. This is Brett Nurse. Hello, folks. I emailed this from a mortally hungover position on my sofa. Yesterday was a good day for a Kell Brook-loving Spurs fan with an almighty affection for the Cobblers. My question is this.
Ooh.
What is the one thing you would change for Northampton right now?
Oh.
For
Northampton as a whole?
That's a big question.
One thing you would change for Northampton right now?
I would go with a monorail.
Yeah.
Well, he fixes everything a monorail, yep. As we all know.
Monorail.
I would
bring back the monkey.
Oh, yes.
Hey, Mike Fuller found the monkey.
He did. He did find it.
That sounds like a weird saying. Mike Fuller found the monkey.
What would I do? I'd probably change the. I'll tell you what I'd do. Very easy, simple fix. I would change the layout of the town centre and stop cars going anywhere near it. There you go. There's a sensible answer.
Interesting. It's a serious one. Very green solution as well, Charles.
I did that one especially for you, Danny.
Thanks.
Especially for you.
I would put a lot more colour into the town centre. I think we need a bit of colour there.
Okay.
I went to the town centre.
Went to the town centre. Well done, Neil. Do you want a badge?
Thank you. Yes, okay. I do actually, because I survived. What would I do? You know what I'd do? I'd get rid of the market square.
Oh, that's controversial.
That is controversial.
Well, not the square. I mean, I can't make a square just disappear. But I would get rid of the market and whatever, rehouse it somewhere else or whatever. And I'd use that space for fun, probably a water park.
Move the market to the East End.
Yeah, there we go. Perfect.
Done.
Get Fitzy in, shouting out. Who for one?
I love it. Malcolm Butler's emailed in. Dear Neil, he says, the Cobbler's fairy godmother has just dropped by and offered you one of the following two scenarios. You can have either 7 points from our next three games or 9 points from our next four games. No pressure, but I asked her for a minimum of 2 goals from open play against Colchester, including a Sam Tobias Hoskins worldie, and she came up with the goods. Keep up with the great work. So what would you rather have, Neil? 7 points from the next three or 9 points from the next four?
I would have 7 from the next three, Charles, because it's a higher percentage.
Oh, high ball. We're playing percentages.
Out. Enjoyable.
Yeah. I like it. Yeah.
Do we go with the 9 from the next four if we can guarantee that 3 of them are against Tranmere? Because then knocks out one of our...
Oh, that throws a spanner into the works.
Spanner.
Is that specified or not?
No, it's not specified. No.
I think in that scenario, yes, I would forego my initial choice.
My initial thought on it was that I take the 7 points from the next three because...
You've still got the fourth.
You've still got the fourth game that you could win, and therefore you could get 10 points from four games.
Yeah, there you go.
Which is more. What are the next four? What's the next three?
We've got Scunthorpe, Rochdale,
both
and
away.
And Walsall.
Walsall at home.
Walsall.
And then Tranmere is the fourth game. I don't know. I mean... Out of those, I would, let's be honest, I mean, I know I'm going to get egg on my face here for saying this, but...
Egg, poached egg, fried eggs, eggs, Cadbury's cream, egg.
But we should beat Scunthorpe.
Oh,
Rochdale, a bit of a bogey team for us, really, aren't they, Rochdale?
Bogeys.
So I'd take a draw. Take a draw.
Pick it.
Up there. And Walsall at home. Well, we've just beaten them fairly easily, but they've just beaten them.
Oh, but there's a big but.
Yeah.
And I like big butts, so I cannot lie.
There's a big but.
Yeah, so I'd probably go take the 7 from 3. out of that. I mean, that's two wins.
There's more enjoyment out of 9 from 4, isn't
it? Is there?
Is there?
Is there really? So that's 9 out of 12 points that you're picking up. So that means you lose one of those games. How's that more enjoyable, Danny?
Because you get three times the fun of winning.
Yeah, but you're losing one.
So essentially, you're writing off what you're saying in this scenario. What you're saying, right, is that we're winning that fourth game there. So if you take 3 off 9, right, that's 6 out of 3 already, right?
Yeah. Okay.
So actually, 7 out of 3 is the best choice because you've still got the fourth game, which you might win.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there.
Maths. Don't
maths.
Do that. Jeffy will murder you if you say it the American way.
But it is serial killer night on the pod. So.
It is indeed. You're very right. Before we talk about the women's team, I just wanted to send our best to James Wiles and his partner. So James has been a superb addition to the team here on It's All Cobblers to Me, but due to some unforeseen circumstances, he's not been able to bring us his regular match reports on the women's games of late, but we do look forward to having you back as soon as possible, mate. So get well soon and hope everything goes right. Everything that we're waiting for to happen happens smoothly. And hopefully we'll be back in the next couple of weeks to hear a proper match report from James. If you'd like to send any best wishes, then you can do podcast@cobblerstome.com, which is where you can send anything into the postbag. NTFC Women, Danny.
Yes.
They won.
Yeah.
Again.
How did they score this week?
They did a Len, didn't they? A Len.
They do a Len. A Len
seven.
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 Seven. Seven.
All right, Monica.
There we go. I'm glad someone got it.
Get that in there.
Get it in.
It's like, if no one gets this, it's going to be weird.
Yeah, they did. They scored seven goals in the Northants FA Women's Cup semi-final.
Yes.
So they're in the final.
Yes, Charles, that's generally what happens when you win a semi-final. Yeah,
they do. Finally.
In the final. Do we know who they were up against?
It will either be Posh or Rushton and Dustbins.
Oh, dear.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's going to be a big game.
Yeah, they beat Netherton. Netherton.
Netherton.
I've never heard of Netherton before.
Maybe not.
No. I've heard of the team because one of our Patreon supporters, I think, coaches there.
Yeah.
But I've never heard of the place.
Mm.
Netherton.
I think it's over by the dirty side of the Nen, isn't it?
Oh, wash your mouth out, young man.
It's Stourbridge, actually.
Is it?
Apparently so.
Oh. There you go.
There we go. But yeah, seven. Leah Cadone, another hat trick.
Amazing.
Can't keep her down. No one can stop her.
Rachel Mumford.
She got one. Yeah. Yeah. Her sons will be happy.
Yep.
Abby Rebel got one.
Yeah.
And Alex Sticks got two.
On fire, that girl. Oh, absolutely. Alex Sticks. He scored again.
Fire.
Brilliant.
Do we know what's happened to Abby Bruin? Because she's disappeared from the team sheets the last couple of weeks. I'm assuming there's an injury.
I'm assuming there's an injury as well. It's one of those. I'm not 100% sure. Abby, if you're listening, let us know.
Good shout. Let us know you're right.
Good shout. Hopefully she's okay. Yes. Pretty sure she is. Maybe what the problem is that she's just scared of my offer of, you know, giving her some money if she scores some goals.
Well, she might be saving herself up. She's like getting to full fitness. She would do like if she could send us this in, a Rocky sequence, you know, when Rocky's just getting ready for the montage of the big, getting ready for the big match.
Dum, dum, dum.
They got the highest tiger.
Yeah, that
one. Yeah, that's the one, yeah.
There you go. And on that note.
Yes, but into the final. First bit of silverware might be on the way.
Looking forward to that. And don't forget, the women are playing at Six Fields.
Yes.
Is it the 13th of March, I believe?
13th of March, yeah.
They're playing Loughborough's development. They're playing Loughborough at Six Fields. That'll be good. That'll be very good. Get down there if you can. I think season ticket holders are getting in for free. I think.
They take off then.
They are now.
They are now, yeah.
Oh, dear, it's true, yes. That will be really good. I'm hoping to make it down for that one. Should be fun. You went to the last one, didn't you, Neil, at Six Wheels?
I did. Yeah, enjoyed lovely time. It. Yeah, really enjoyed it. The kids, it was great.
It was great. Great afternoon out at the football. There we go. That's it.
Two
for this
ticket
week.
Holders are free, Charles, by the way.
Thank you. Oh, thank you. There you go.
As are under 18s.
Oh,
there we go.
Brilliant. That's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening and for supporting us. And if you'd like to do more of that, then you can go to patreon.com/cobblers2me. Preview show on Friday. Who have we got this time, Danny? Rochdale fans.
Rochdale.
Lovely. Yes.
I think it's you and
make
Neil,
sure you
it?
Ask them. Oh, it is, yeah. I mean, aren't I? Yeah. I was going to say, can you make sure you ask them about the chippy behind the away end? But I'll ask myself.
There you go.
Yes. Well, that's it. Yeah, Danny's not here, is he? Because Danny's off to somewhere else.
Festival.
A 5-day holiday plus a gig on the Wednesday, which one we usually record.
A gig? Who are you going to see?
Wolf Alice, Charles.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of them. Yeah. Very good.
Thank you, Grandpa.
love it. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you, Danny. Thank you, Neil. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Whey! There's the cup. There's the pictures you'll see on tomorrow's back pages. The Cobblers are going through into Division 1. Bring them on because we deserve it.
This podcast is a proud member of the FanHub 100. Football without fans is nothing, so we've partnered with FanHub to put fans first. Search FanHub app to play your part in the journey.